Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Thanks for joining us today. I'll explain that snort in a moment. When you get a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com. That's consumerguide.com. Check out our 2025 Best Buy picks. Check out all of our new and used car reviews. That's right. We have some used car reviews as well, plus fun stuff on the blog. Jill and I have a deal here where we're always here at least 85 seconds early. I violated that rule by a solid 75 seconds.
You totally did. You totally did. I was just like, wow, TikTok, you are running late today.
And that's usually you.
No, I'm always spot on time.
Well, spot on time if no planning is part of the project.
Spot on time.
Anyway, that voice is Jill Simonello, managing editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, North American Car of the Year juror, and freelancer. Do you want to open the donuts now because you were so disappointed last week?
Oh, man. I don't think I can have any of these.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like stuff on top.
You don't like stuff on top?
I don't.
It was stuff in the middle before.
I'm boring. But like this has like flecks of things on top. Like I would do a plain blueberry donut, but he's got like this German chocolate donut and then
That is the German chocolate.
A donut with coconut crap on it and then
coconut lime. And I'm pretty sure crap is not really a fair.
Crap. And then a blueberry cake donut with like. Icing. Like, why would
blueberry.
You do that?
It's blueberry icing.
Why?
So brownies, do you not frost them?
Chocolate is something different.
Every rule you have contradicts another rule you have.
Totally does.
So chocolate on stuff is okay.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like chocolate and coconut, not so much.
That's like traditional. Hundreds of years old. It's called German chocolate for a reason.
Mm.
So you're disappointed by this week's donut selection as well.
Yeah.
Three entirely different donuts, six donuts in a row.
Yeah.
Technically five because there were only two varieties last week.
Yeah. Very disappointing.
All right.
Is this what made you late?
A little bit. Oh, I feel terrible about something.
Okay.
This kid in front of me rode up on his bike, maybe 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize he didn't have enough money for his donuts.
Aw.
And part of the problem is that donuts are expensive.
Well, they are.
And it's like, if I had realized what was happening in front of me, I would have just given the kid a buck or thrown his order on mine. So I feel really bad.
You're a horrible human.
I am. I should have picked up on that. So I feel bad about that.
So what, the kid walked out without donuts?
He got two donuts instead of three.
Aww.
And the sad part of me, the guilty part, now thinks like he was going to go like visit his girlfriend or something.
Well, maybe he was going to go visit his grandma and like that third donut was for his grandma.
Yeah, now she doesn't get
I know. You're a horrible human. How dare you?
Oh, and the one he put one back. It was the regular blueberry.
Mm, see?
Yeah.
He at least has good taste.
Yeah, sort of.
Mm.
A lot of stuff going on this week. Brian Yackel, Senior Marketing Manager at Nissan, joins us to talk about the Armada.
Yes.
In a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The Armada, which is so much better than it used to be.
Yes. I would agree with that.
We're going to be talking about that. We're not going to talk about this week, but it's a thing that we should just acknowledge, and that's that the federal tax credits are going away.
Yes.
The big, beautiful bill thing got passed, and with it a lot of anti-EV stuff.
Yeah.
Not so much anti-EV, just what was EV support is gone.
Yeah. And I mean, the interesting / tough thing about that is automakers don't plan in a one-year cycle.
No.
They don't plan in a six-month cycle. They don't plan in a three-month cycle. They plan in like a five-year cycle.
If they can.
And
yeah, that's the kind of space they need to maneuver.
So, you know, a lot of people and automakers, not that they went all in on EV, because I think they did start to see the writing on the wall a little bit early, but they had really put plans in place to add to the electric car market. And, you know, from battery plants to facilities to moving production from Korea to the United States to like all of these things. And they're not things that can or probably will be undone. So we are still going to see electric cars.
They Oh, yeah, yeah. Electric cars aren't going away.
No.
But adoption will slow down. What we will see again, June sales came out. Mm-hmm. So we have the first half numbers, and I might do a quiz on those next week. But June sales are out, and sales finally slumped in June after being very strong all year, largely because consumers were afraid that, and they will probably, that tariffs were going to raise the prices of cars.
Yep.
So the problem is, and from a marketing perspective and from a retail perspective, when you pull ahead sales, and they were very strong early, when you pull ahead sales, well, the rest of the year is worse.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah. And EV sales had been pulled ahead and probably now will be pulled ahead some more.
Right. Because so that people will buy before the tax credit
goes away.
There is
certainty.
Do you, I forget what the date is that they're going away. Is that
September?
September
30.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the big bad news. Interesting stuff in the sales numbers. General Motors sales up 111%. That's General Motors EV sales. I think it's Q2 over Q2 last year.
Right.
So good news for General Motors. And a lot of that comes from the fact that, one, they have a very affordable EV.
Well, they did.
Equinox, right. Right, because it was $35,000, which means you could get one under 30.
Yep.
If they were, and we don't know. I haven't been to a dealership. I don't know if they actually were delivering versions that inexpensive, but even more expensive versions of that vehicle were pretty affordable.
Right.
And then they just have a bunch of EVs. And it turns out the Cadillacs are turning out to be pretty popular.
Yep.
So good for GM. Also, they started building more of the Silverado pickup and the Sierra EV pickup.
Okay.
Yep. So, and I am seeing those on the road. They're handsome. I like them.
Yeah. I see a lot more of them on the road down in Indiana than I do up in Chicago, but I've certainly started to see more on the road.
Do you know what's interesting about those? All right. Just quick quiz. What do they have in common with the Ridgeline, the Honda Ridgeline pickup? It's an interesting, unique thing. And it's not just an independent rear suspension or coil spring.
Do they have in-bed storage?
No, but bed is key.
I don't know.
The bed is not separate from the body.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which gives it a very clean look. So just an interesting thing there. But yeah, we'll see what happens with sales. We'll talk about Q2 sales next week when I have numbers.
Okay.
But yeah, car sales are probably going to fall later this year, but we're probably going to see a massive surge of EV sales this month.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Thank goodness there's a lot of good choices out there.
And next month. There is. There's a lot of cool EVs out there. This is the time to probably check them out. So do that if you're interested in an EV. All right. What else was I going to talk about here? Oh, speaking of EVs, Nissan pushed back two cars that I even forgot they were going to do. But Nissan was working on a small crossover, an EV crossover for both Nissan and for Infiniti. The new dates for those are the Nissan's being pushed all the way back to November 2028.
Oof.
I'm going to feel older by the time that comes out. And the Infiniti not until March of 2029.
Wow.
That seems so far away.
Yes. But it'll get here faster than we know.
Probably. Yeah, so we've got those numbers. I don't even know why we're mentioning it, but it's always good to quantify these things. Tesla sales continue to plunge.
Aw, too bad, so sad.
And what I love is that when you read a financial report of the situation, there's always like this weird attribution of issues that Tesla is facing. It's like, yeah, we know that, right? There's the political – I don't know what the music is.
Like, all of a sudden, I don't know if you can hear it on the other line, but all of a sudden, we're getting this music.
I do know. It's my phone.
It's your phone!
Yeah. All right.
Is your mom calling you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I put my phone on airplane mode because my mom invariably calls
me
in the middle of this.
Oh, no. That was my good friend, Spam Risk.
Oh, got it.
Are you getting a trillion spam calls these days?
No. So, here's why. I am a T-Mobile person, and they have this app that you can download that essentially gets rid of all your spam calls.
It's interesting. I have AT&T, and I haven't looked into this further, but they identify all the calls as bad when they come in.
Yeah.
So I just have to figure out how not to see them.
You should see if there's if you have the AT&T app, you should see if there's like a spam filter. Because like literally, I just turned it on 2 weeks ago, and I haven't seen a single scam likely call pop up in that time.
So here's a funny thing. If you have the time and you're just irritated enough, go with the call. Go through the automated part, get to the real person. And when the person tells you their fake name, they'll go, oh, hi, Jim. And then as Jim keeps talking, you're like, did you say your name was Jim? And I just, they'll be like, yes, sir. And I'm like, because you sound like a woman. I'm just asking. And then they get really huffy and like, I assure you I'm a man. And I'm like, oh, all right, well, that's fine. And then they hang up on you. So I just like to think I've talked one person out of that career.
Maybe. You know, you have a long history of trying to play with scammers. So
I do enjoy that.
Yeah.
And if you're in a car, you got nothing else to do.
Right.
Except get back to your music or podcast.
I was
going
to say, listen to your podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, where is Tesla here? Sales are down. Oh, 13.5% Q2. I think that's Q2 over Q2.
And I do have to say, I don't feel bad about that, but I feel a little bit bad about it because I think Teslas are really good cars. And I feel like there's just some angst right now.
Let's take all the angst out of it.
Okay.
Let's take the political stuff out of what Tesla has done and forget the fact that the guy's really jerky.
Yeah.
Let's forget those things. I think Tesla still let down shareholders and still let down consumers by letting this lineup languish.
He
devoted so much time and so much effort to the Cybertruck, and that was throwing money away.
Yeah.
We now know that that was completely just tossing money in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he still has the Model 3 and the Model Y, which are popular, and they serve a need, but they're getting old.
Well, the Model S and Model X
are really old.
Yeah,
those are probably going away.
They just refreshed the 3.
So Model 3 and Model Y are updated. They have new front end fascias and stuff, but they're still kind of old, and they still serve exactly that niche. And they're both kind of small.
Yeah.
Well, have you sat in either one of them?
I'm small.
Let's
be clear. So it didn't seem terribly small to me.
But I rode around in Robert Colangelo of Green Sense Radio, his Model Y, and it's a very nice car. I enjoyed driving it, but it's cramped for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. And they really just need a mid-size crossover. Because the Model Y or the Model X is a silly, big, expensive thing. And it does not serve that purpose. If you were like just driving around in a Honda Pilot and you wanted an electric vehicle, that ain't it.
No, it is not. And, it's really interesting. Rivian has kind of fallen into the same pattern as Tesla because they actually launched a full new generation of their R1T and R1S last year.
Which did not get the buzz it should have, probably.
Well, because they look exactly the same.
They do.
And so that's to me, a problem that some of the electric automakers need to really think about.
There is a reason, strategic reason, for leaving things looking the same, and that's to maintain resale value.
Hmm.
If you massively change the look of something, you often doom the previous generation to lower resale values.
Hmm.
So in this case, most Model Ys look about the same.
Right.
Although I do like the look of the new one. For some reason, people are making fun of it. I'm like, it ain't that different.
Yeah.
But it's got that new mono.
Yeah, the light bar.
Yeah. So, all right, enough on Tesla. But I just, not enough because I'm going to ramble again.
Yep.
But I still think they needed one more product and they should not have wasted their time and effort on the Cybertruck.
I would concur with that.
Yeah, and I think if you're waiting for a new product, you're going to wait a long time because everything's Cyber Cab now.
Yeah, now they're Robo-Taxi.
We should, just a little backroom discussion real quick. We should find someone to tell us about the Cybertaxi. Plans,
okay.
Updates, things like that.
I mean, we're not going to be able to get anybody from Tesla to talk to us, but I bet our friend Sam Abdulsamid would probably be able to have a chat with us.
That's my preferred pronunciation of his last name.
Yeah,
I don't know what his preferred.
I don't know. I could be completely wrong. Sam, the analyst who we really like.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I'd like to call him my good friend, but I don't actually know Sam very well.
But is he a gooder friend than our Jamie Butters?
No, Jamie's my dear friend.
But I think you've met Sam in person, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, you have not met
a couple
Jamie
of times.
In person.
Actually, he's been to Chicago for different meetings and stuff. So
you make me laugh.
All right. Speaking of electric vehicles, you recently spent some time in an interesting one for a bunch of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The BMW iX.
Yep. So 2026 model BMW iX.
2026.
It is.
All my specs are useless.
No, they're not. I mean, I was in the 45, which is 26, but it is.
Was that the 40 previously?
It could be.
Okay.
Yeah. I really liked it, but I know that's
nope,
overdone.
Nope.
So I didn't take a road trip in it, but it does get more than 300 miles of range, and I it was delivered to me with probably about 250 miles of range. I went down to about 150 miles of range and then charged it up back up to like 250 miles of range. But I drove a whole week and had no range anxiety, didn't feel the need to like rush out to a charger. The only reason why I charged it up is because I just wanted to make sure it had enough range to swap it out, because I know our fleet vehicle handlers are out in the boonies. So I just wanted to make sure they had enough range to get where they need to go.
Yeah, it's just a strange inside baseball thing.
Yeah.
We do need to recharge these things before people pick them up.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about the 45. So this is a new, basically updated entry-level version of the iX. And this is a question I have for you, and I asked myself the same question when I recently drove the BMW i4, which was an electric small sedan. Does it still feel like a BMW to you?
So that's a tough question because, I mean, BMWs are notorious for driving dynamics and connection to the road and sportiness. And I would say the design felt like BMW. It had the really cool M package with the stripes on the seats and stitching and all of that kind of stuff. So it was.
So it's the base car, but it has an M package.
Yeah.
Why does that irritate me so much?
Because
I really just want to drive a base car. Like for years, I just wanted to drive a BMW X5. Super popular, super well liked. And every time I got an X5, I got seat time. It was some crazy M version of the car that did 0 to 60 before I could take two breaths. And I'm like, is this representative? Because I don't think this is where the volume is.
No. And it had like the crystal like gear shift knob and dials and the seat controls.
Cool.
It looked really cool. It felt cool. The seats were comfortable. It's fast, but electric cars are fast. It had that nice instantaneous torque, the quick accelerations. But I mean, there is something visceral missing with the sound of the engine and the feel of the engine and transmission. And like BMW is one of the last holdouts with a manual transmission. And
try and find one.
I know. Believe me, I'm driving a manual transmission right now. That's not a BMW. We'll talk about that later. But
I mean,
it doesn't have the sporting driving dynamics that gasoline vehicles have.
When you say dynamics, it doesn't handle as well, or it just because there's a big difference between the visceral sensation of driving, the engagement.
It doesn't have
and the actual capability.
No, I mean it's capable. It's capable.
All right. Well, I would use dynamics, the word specifically, to discuss.
Your phone is ringing again.
Yes.
Dynamics is, to me, about the nimbleness, but I mean, it feels a little bit heavy.
I have the weight.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The base car. If you drive a BMW X5, the gasoline-powered version with all-wheel drive, the xDrive 40i, that's the six-cylinder, 4,800 pounds. Which feels a little, that feels pudgy to me.
Yeah, yep.
But I grew up in the 80s where cars were, my Scirocco weighed 2,100 pounds. So that's more than two times. The iX X50, I did the X50, not the 45, 5,700 pounds.
Yeah.
So fully 900 pounds more.
Yeah. So, I mean, it feels a little heavy. And it's, but like I said, it's fast. It was nimble enough to do what I needed it to do. And I have, I've moved. And so I have a new garage that I back into. And it was able to, like, make the tight turn into the space that I need. And it's good. It's really good. If you want an electric car that has bougie trim and accents and will go fast and feels fast, it is not a bad choice.
I did some checking on this thing just to figure out how close it was to the BMW X5.
Okay.
And it is longer slightly, and it rides on a slightly longer wheelbase.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's to accommodate the battery.
Mm-hmm.
But it is slightly narrower and lower.
I like
and
narrower.
I think that might be to reduce frontal area for aero drag and ultimately better range.
Yeah.
But the interior dimensions are unchanged. So I don't know where they found that space.
Right.
But they did.
I mean,
also, they probably just lowered the whole vehicle a little bit.
Yeah, it is attractive, and we bought a grill, and we're able to load it into the back with the seats flat, and I liked it. I don't know what else to say. It's probably not a vehicle I would get for myself at this point in time. It's too expensive. It's, you know, electric.
A little big.
But the car I'm driving right now is the Subaru WRX TS. That's the car I would buy for myself.
With vanity plates.
With vanity plates.
Let's talk money and range.
Okay. More than 300 miles of range. Okay. I mean, I never got it charged up to 100%.
No.
And
you wouldn't, right? Because you're not charging at the house.
No. And I did have a small problem with the charging cable because I do have a plug to plug into 110 volt. And I couldn't. It kept throwing an error code. So I'm going to say it was probably a user error that I was doing something wrong. And I let our fleet managers know that. But the range, more than 300 miles, is exactly what you want for that vehicle.
Yeah, that's good. And then what did that big boy cost with the M Performance package?
You're asking me a question I don't have the answer to. We were both running a little bit late, and so I was going to look at the Monroney right as we sat down, and then we started recording. So I can check on the break and come back and let you know.
I think that starts right around, that would probably start right around 80 grand and probably loaded. I bet that's pretty close to a C.
Yeah.
So there you have it. So nice electric vehicle.
Yes.
BMW's got a bunch of stuff. BMW has been outselling Mercedes with EVs, and in part because it hasn't gone quite as expensive and crazy. They have the i4, small sporty sedan, the i5, which is a midsize sedan. Mm-hmm. They have the i7, big sedan.
Yep.
They probably don't need the big sedan. No one can sell big sedans anymore. Mm. And then the iX that you drove. And then I've got a big question. No one knows the answer to this, but why is it called the iX and not like the iX5? Since it does hold a particular size space in the lineup.
You know what?
They're going to have to fix that.
I don't know. Yeah, if they're going to have like a smaller or larger, you know, iX5, iX7, iX3, I don't know. Maybe this is where they only thought they would do one.
Yeah, it's weird that the German car makers always launch with really strange nomenclature setups that they regret immediately and then confuse us for the next generation.
Yeah.
By changing them slowly. And then BMW is always changing that number after X to indicate more power, even though the engine size hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. Keeping that straight, not easy.
No.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Brian Yackel, the senior marketing manager over at Nissan, about the new Armada.
Yes.
All right, stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
We Are Motor Driven is like your favorite garage conversation, just with mics. Honest car talk, wild opinions, and no gatekeeping. New episodes weekly, wherever you get your podcasts. Bring snacks and buckle up.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. Jill is bouncing around the studio doing something.
I just needed to make sure that the video is recording. Sorry.
Well, tell people about this. If people want to see us do stuff.
Yes.
Because there's nothing like watching two people talk.
I know, with donuts in the middle.
Donuts, which you have already categorically rejected.
Yeah, I've kind of categorically rejected these.
Because they're frosted.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then there's like flex on it. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's peanut.
Maybe I'm allergic.
I would know that by now.
But I record video of the podcast while we are recording the podcast and are doing the live podcast. And then I eventually get it up on my YouTube. I'm a little bit behind at the moment.
I have watched the show. It's riveting.
It's totally riveting.
That whole thing I do where I hold a pen and wave my hand around.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
But the reason why I was bopping around was because I wanted to check the price of the iX and I had to do it on my phone and I record with my phone. So
it's always when we start the second segment. Like a couple of weeks ago, you got up and started digging through the trash.
I did not dig through the trash.
You did. You'd thrown out something from Wendy's, as I recall.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I was grabbing napkins.
Well, you don't listen to the show, so you wouldn't know how funny that stuff is.
That's fair. So $92,000 was the answer to that, though.
All right.
The BMW iX I test drove.
How much?
$92,000.
Yes. All right. Question asked and answered.
Asked and answered.
All right. The Nissan Armada.
Yes.
I have been honest about this on the show. I did not like the previous generation of the vehicle.
You have been honest.
I thought it was a little cramped, a little bit crude, and a little bit overpriced. But it is all new.
It is.
For 2025.
There's a lot of great stuff on
and
here.
And it is all better.
Yes.
On the phone with us is Brian Yako. He's the Senior Marketing Manager for Nissan, here to talk a little Armada. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Did you have a nice 4th?
I did. Did a little rib smoking on my grill. Had some good family time with my little girls. Greatly enjoyed it. Thanks. Yourself?
Now, I did. We didn't do anything. My wife and I usually have a party, but things got weird this year. She has a new job. My daughter's working full-time and couldn't be there. Mm-hmm. It was just a bunch of stuff working against us, so we just didn't have a party this year. Instead, we took my mother to lunch.
Oh, well, that's a good thing to do. Yeah, I sat on my balcony and watched my neighbors set off fireworks in the city.
There you go.
And thankfully, nothing burned down.
You didn't even have to break any laws. You just got to watch someone else do it.
I got to watch somebody else break the laws.
So, Brian, you guys have an all-new Armada, and the vehicle competes in a class full of really excellent product. There isn't a bad product in that class, and the Armada this redesign kind of came out of nowhere in that it is so unexpectedly good, and this vehicle is so competitive now. Tell us a little bit about what it was you wanted to do with this vehicle and why you're still in that class.
Yeah, of course. So as you mentioned, a very competitive segment, and it's a segment that's growing. So it's really the second fastest growing segment since 2017. Full-size SUV sales are up 35%.
Wow.
So as the general public has fell more in love with the great outdoors or looking to go outside more, you know, it really helps for this segment with car sales. So as we were planning our new generation, we really wanted to look at how that we could bring a competitive product offering to really fight in this segment. And if I may, if you want, when you talk about what drives someone to buy a full-size SUV.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for that added capability, the cargo versatility, that added luxury that moves them up from a large to full-size. But then it's really that emotional justification gets them to be okay with that price point, right? It's that sense of no compromise, prepared for anything. They have this partner in adventure. The vehicle's also a sense of self-expression for them. So again, it's that emotional connection, and we feel that's really core even to Nissan's DNA when we look at products like the Armada, the Frontier Pro 4X, and the Z. So that's really where we started. And then we looked at, and maybe some of your customers aren't aware, but unique for model year 25, this was the first time that the Armada was basically the same vehicle as our Global Patrol, which is sold overseas.
Okay.
And this is a historic, very popular nameplate for us. It's got over 70 years of iconic design, established benchmarks all over the globe in the SUV space. So we were able to build off all that heritage of R&D testing, design. We infused that also with some of the DNA from our previous Pro 4X offerings like Xterra, Titan, and Frontier here in the U.S. And the result, as you mentioned, is a great engineered product that's really capable to, what we say, go out and conquer any terrain, any adventure, while delivering thrill and really enriching our customers' lives.
So talk about the customer. As you noted, this is an expensive vehicle. It is a big commitment. You called it an emotional commitment, which I think makes a lot of sense. Who is it that is buying these vehicles? And is Nissan looking for a different segment of buyer than, say, GMC with the Yukon or Ford with the Expedition?
So when we plan with this customer, we look at them as, we call them the bold adventurous parents, right? Most people that are having a large or full-size SUV, they want that extra space, right? Because they're hauling people around, their family, their friends. They have this provider mentality where they want to interact and connect with these people on a deeper level, and they do this through a shared passion for adventure. That's where their thrill comes from. They have almost this bigger is better mentality. And the vehicle itself lets them feel bold and empowered. Again, it gives them a sense of self-expression that's important to them. So I think that's the key customer that we're looking at to build upon. You know, as Nissan brand, I think we're trying to be a little bit more bolder, and, you know, what we're doing now with even the Nismo variant coming out, you know, we're not just the typical OEM, but we're trying to do something that matches more what the customer's really looking for.
We have to talk about Nismo in a moment because it's frankly crazy. And I love when something crazy happens in the auto industry. But I want to talk a little bit, too, about you guys moving on from the V8. And we've seen a lot of companies mm-hmm. try to do this recently. But you guys went from a pretty big, pretty burly, was it a 5.6 liter V8? To a new 3.5 liter twin turbocharged V6. So you're getting more power to people. You're getting improved fuel economy, and I saw this firsthand. But is there any pushback from traditional shoppers about there no longer being a V8 available?
No, I think the customers understand, again, like you said, we were able to improve our horsepower, our torque, our towing capacity, all on top of, you know, while delivering better fuel economy. So we're doing all that and meeting our goals for durability and performance. So we're giving the customer what they need, what they want, and not sacrificing anything.
Are there any particular features of the Armada that you want people to know about? People probably know this is a large three-row SUV, all-wheel drive capable, lots of power, lots of room, lots of towing capacity. What else is there for shoppers?
Yeah, I think for us, when we talk about the Armada, I mean, I could throw out, like, you know, we have first-in-class technologies like the invisible hood view. We have the biometric cooling. We have available 14.4-inch dual monolith displays, hands-off driving. But so spec to spec, we can compare versus segment. But for us, it's really about the total value proposition, right? So when you're talking about going anywhere, you know, enhancing your abilities, almost like superhuman powers, right, this car offers you, where you can really see through your hood, right, as you're trying to navigate, you know, that rock hill, or even just going to the car wash and making sure, you know, you line your wheel up properly so you don't get in your tire, right? And then we're trying to take care of not just the driver, but everyone in the car, right? More family and more fun. Everyone's being spoiled. We have heated and cooled massage front seats, the biometric cooling for the second row. You know, we have easy latch and glide second row so people can get in and out of the car, myself with two small children. You know, with the previous gen, when I had both those car seats in and my parents or my in-laws are trying to get in the vehicle, it was a little difficult. But now, you know, you just hit the latch, you glide forward, they can get in and out. Everyone's happy. We're all in the car ready to go for an adventure.
So I have two questions for you, and they both kind of follow up on what you just said. So, but the first question I want to ask you is you're talking about some of the cool features that, you know, the vehicle has, and you're talking a little bit about, well, the Nissan company line. But you personally, like, what is your favorite thing about the new Armada?
So I love the camera technology when driving a large car, and especially also with my wife. When I first married my wife, she was, you know, I have a small car, maybe I should drive a Rogue. And then I've gotten her into a Pathfinder. Now mm-hmm. as our family's evolving, getting bigger, it's okay. How do I feel safe and comfortable driving such a big car? And, you know, this great technology really does help, again, almost like superhuman powers that enables you to park where you need it, you know, park in small parking spaces, and then just, maybe one other story. We had a Pro drive, so we again offer this new Pro 4X variant of the Armada, and we took several enthusiasts and media out in the desert north of Phoenix in the Tonto National Forest, just outside of Scottsdale. And what we showed is, like, you could go to Costco literally and pick up your groceries, and then you could drive straight stock out to this national forest and do any of the terrain you want.
Cool.
It's got the locking rear diff, you know, all the camera technologies, again, skid plates. So we're giving the customer what they need that they can do anything with. No compromise, right? You can do your day-to-day. You can throw anything you want in it. Or, you know, you can go on an extreme off-road adventure and be, you know, feel safe. The vehicle can, you can put it through its paces. It's durable. It's been tested. Again, a long heritage with the patrol. It's just a great product, as you mentioned at the start of this podcast.
So then the second question is a follow-up. Can you talk about what biometric cooling is? You've mentioned that a couple of times now, and I think that's a new enough term that people might not understand what that is.
It sounds like I want it.
Yeah, so this is a real cool feature. If your family, you have to go pick up your kids at soccer practice, you have your automatic climate control set on, you know, 75 degrees, right? And it's cooling your vehicle. Then your kids jump in the back seat and they're super hot from playing soccer. The actual camera can read their face, their body temperature,
wow.
And then it will automatically turn up the air conditioning fan and cool down the temperature in the back seat. You don't even have to touch it from the front seat. And then once their body temperature comes down, then it reverses back to the normal temperature setting.
That's super cool.
Another, like, kind of luxury, cool tech feature that's just convenient, that does something maybe you don't even expect.
So, Brian, we're running out of time, but we have to talk Nismo. And this is the craziest thing. I didn't believe it when I first saw it, but you guys are doing a Nismo version of the Armada.
Yes.
So first, tell us what Nismo is and and what the Nismo Armada will be.
Okay, so we just unveiled this vehicle globally a few weeks ago. So Nismo is our performance line of Nissan. So you may have seen Nismo on, like, we have it on the GTR.
Sure.
The current E. We've had it on the Juke in the past. So when we were planning the second year of the Armada, again, looking at, now that we share globally with the patrol, what are some of the unique advantages we can do that actually fit with our key customers? So again, when we even looking at the segment, a third are specialty vehicles, and that's made up not just of off-road, but also, you know, sport performance vehicles. So Nismo is us listening to the customers. We have customers, we've had media that know of the patrol Nismo that we've had, and kind of that successful blueprint that exists for the company.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to bring that over again. So now with the Nismo offering, you have enhanced performance. Also, of course, the Nismo styling. Basically, we have the Nismo team in Japan that meticulously go over every aspect of this vehicle, and they optimize every aspect. So that's what they've done. We're very excited about it, especially for our brand enthusiasts. The vehicle will go on sale the end of summer, beginning of fall.
Cool.
Looks great. Yeah, just very excited for it.
So it starts as a 2026 model. Cool. If you have a guess, what do you think the take rate will be on the Nismo Armada?
Probably between 5% and 10%.
Okay.
Is where we're targeting. Yeah.
And we will certainly.
Again, it's more of a white space opportunity for us, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, with our enthusiasts, and again, fitting. So, you know, now basically we walk up from our kind of SL. We have three options, so they can go that traditional more route with our Platinum Reserve. They can go the off-road route with our Pro 4X,
uh-huh.
or now they can go the street performance with the Nismo. So what we like to say is now we have a Nismo, or excuse me, we have an Armada for every type of adventure.
I guess you do. Brian, we run out of time, but if there's anything we forgot to ask, tell us now.
No, so just again, model year 26s come out later this fall with the Nismo. The 25s are out now, the Pro 4X. The Platinum Reserves, great vehicles. Please get out, drive those, and look forward to hearing more feedback from the customers.
Sounds good. And they are great vehicles. Congratulations. They turned out really nice. Brian, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
That was Brian Yackel, Senior Marketing Manager with Nissan. We're going to take a break, and when we come back,
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
I'm Robert Colangelo, host of The Green Sense Show. Every week, we feature groundbreaking innovations from energy and agriculture to smart cities and sustainable transportation. We interview experts working to create a cleaner, greener future. One of my favorite segments is Green Automotive News with auto expert Tom Appel. We test drive and review the latest EVs, hybrids, and ultra-efficient cars. Visit greensenseshow.com or listen to The Green Sense Minute on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast on the first nice day of July.
It is a beautiful day today.
Yeah,
actually.
Yesterday got nice, but it was rainy and gloomy.
Yeah.
But today it's nice. We're not in the 90s.
No, I mean, I like the 90s, but but this is lovely too.
That's the name of your dance show.
That's lovely too?
No, I like the 90s.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anyway, it's quiz time, but first you probably have social media stuff to discuss. So I'm going to take a break. You go.
I do. So I am on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, ThreadUp. I am on ThreadUp, but that's not the one. Threads.
That sounds way too much like thrown up.
ThreadUp is a thrifting, like online thrifting store.
I have no idea.
Yeah. It's. amazing, and I love it. I buy all of my dresses for like $10. But not social media, but that, yeah, ThredUp, strongly recommend it. Threads, that's what I meant. Threads and Blue Sky. And you can find me at Jill Simonello, and I use the hashtag Cartage War. And if there is a social medium that I am not on that you think I should be on, I would love for you to reach out and tell me. I've really been trying to feed my YouTube channel lately. It's 15 years old. I was a very early adapter. I created it like pretty much right after YouTube became a thing. And then I ignored it. And so now I'm trying to feed it. And YouTube is like,
I did that with my child. We had the kid and we fed her for a while. And then for like a decade, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she had a master's degree.
And then she came
back. Yeah, it was weird.
I would love a follow on my YouTube channel. And we kind of skipped over your social media.
We did. I'm Car Guy Tom.
Yes.
On X and Blue Sky.
Yes.
Yep. Cool. Also, follow me on Facebook if you want. Hey, if I'm self-promotion, I joined Nick DiGilio at the Lake Theater in Oak Park, 7 p.m. That's Oak Park, Illinois, 7 p.m. Wednesday. He's doing a screening of Dazed and Confused, and I'm going there because I've never seen the movie, and I like the commentary, but also I'll be talking about the cars in the movie, which I know nothing about yet.
Okay.
But
all right, then.
This movie's legendary. I'm glad I'm going to see it.
Not to replace, like, Adam 7, which is your...
Adam 12.
12, sorry. Whatever.
Well, that's a TV show, and this is a movie.
Whatever, the Adam thing that you talk about cars for.
One of the hilarious things about Adam 12 is that to do these things on the streets of L.A., they had to film much of the show at the crack of dawn before the streets got busy.
Mm-hmm.
Always a busy city.
Yeah.
So that you can see the extreme shadows from the really, like, it's just the sun just broke. The other part is that they have like 10 cars total that they move to every site for the scene. And there's a golden white Mustang that is unmistakable.
Okay.
And it's in every scene. And it's such a weird color combination. I don't even think it was a factory color combination. So it's just funny when you see it.
Okay. Spot the golden white Mustang in Adam 12, not 7.
No, spot it three times in every episode because they just move it from scene to scene.
Okay.
It's kind of ugly. It's not a convertible. It's like this weird painted white top. It's not, whatever.
Okay.
All right. It's quiz time.
Yeah, I was trying to procrastinate.
Yeah. There's plenty of time for this because you have 1 minute for each question. Today's topic is quick car names, exclamation point. I'm just going to give you a make. And you just have to give me a certain number of vehicles from that make in 60 seconds.
Okay.
Which should be super easy.
Which you're going to give me something like Dacia or something, and I'm going to be like, I have nothing.
Like what?
Dacia?
Dacia. Okay.
Dacia,
you might have said it right. Actually, I don't know. For people who don't know, that brand was assumed by Renault and is actually a really high-volume, low-price vehicle brand that, until the Ukraine conflict, was one of the best-selling cars in Russia.
Mm.
Dacia.
Yeah.
I think. Or Dacia.
I don't know. It's spelled, isn't it D-A-I-S or D-A-C-I-A, I think.
I can't confirm that.
Okay.
I've never written about that. It's an interesting brand. It's a price brand, and it's not available in the U.S.
No. But basically, you will give me something like that.
You know, what is interesting about that is that a few years ago, and I don't know what came of it, Nissan was going to start trying to enter those same markets with a brand called Datsun.
Never heard of that one before.
Yeah, they were going to bring back Datsun. All right, are you ready?
I'm
going to give you 60 seconds. I'm using my watch right here because the clock's being weird. In 60 seconds, I just need you to name, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Four Pontiacs.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Go.
Solstice, Bonneville, GTO, GXP? GPX?
No, you got GTO. What you're doing are trim levels there.
Okay.
So you got Solstice, Bonneville, GTO. Very good start.
And you just need one more, right?
You need one, yeah. And you've got 40 seconds.
God, I don't. That's the sum of the Pontiacs I know.
This is
G8. G6.
Nice.
Aha!
You got five. Yeah, all right. There you go. You're on the board. I had listed here as examples Fiero, which we've talked about on the show, Bonneville, Firebird, G6, G8, and Grand Prix.
Okay.
Except I spelled it Grand Perks. Why is spell check so useless?
Because it's like AI and you should never depend on it.
Yeah, grand perks. All right, you're doing good.
Okay.
All right. You're like a classic car expert. Are you ready?
Yep.
I need 4 Mercuries.
Ugh.
And, like, you're not thinking while I'm saying and. Yep. Go.
Mountaineer.
Oh, good one. That's a really good one.
Cougar?
Yeah.
Montero?
No, that's a Mitsubishi.
Montego.
Montego is. You're doing good. You got 39 seconds to come up with one more Mercury. My hat's off to you for Montego and Mountaineer, by the way.
They're the ones I've driven. Mercury.
Montego was a disaster.
It was, but it was all-wheel drive.
Mountaineer was just them making money.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally blanking on anything else from Mercury.
19 seconds. Oh, you're off to such a good start.
I know! Mercury. I want to say Lightning, but that's not going to be one.
And you're out of time.
Yeah.
So you had Mountaineer, which was the version of the Explorer.
Yeah.
And for a while, they were just stuffing a V8 in that thing and selling them for like 40 grand. They were making a fortune on those bad boys. Cougar, for a while, was parallel to the Mustang. Sometimes it was parallel to the Thunderbird. Depended where they positioned it, but it was always a coupe. It was always kind of a personal luxury or sporty GT thing. Montego was a big coupe that...
it was a sedan.
It became a sedan.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
It was a bunch of different things, but it was the companion to the Ford 500.
Yeah.
Which no one loved either. All right, you've just got one. We should explain the rules. 5 questions total. Then a bonus question. You need 3 total.
Okay,
win.
So give us some other Mercury models. What did I miss?
Oh, Cougar, Grand Marquis, Topaz, Montego, Mystique. Mystique was the Mercury version of the Contour in the U.S. There were a lot of those for a while. They're all gone.
Yeah.
They're just gone. All right, you've got 1 out of 2. Are you ready?
Yes.
I need 4 Porsches in 1 minute. Go.
911.
Yes.
Taycan.
Yes.
Macan.
Yes.
Cayenne.
All right, you got that one. Okay. The only other example I had there was Boxster, 928, 944.
Okay.
All right, you've got 2 points.
Cayman. Cayman would be another one.
Cayman would be good.
I have our best man's last name was Cayman.
That's weird.
It is, but he spelled it with a K.
Somehow that's weirder. All right, this one might be tough. Like, you're going to get 2 or 3 in a flash, and then you're going to stutter.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
You might nail this one.
No, I probably won't.
You have 1 minute starting. I'm not giving it to you until it starts now.
No, you got to tell me.
Now, Mitsubishi.
Eclipse Cross, Lancer, yes. Outlander, Outlander Sport.
That's 3, right?
4.
What did you say?
Eclipse Cross, Outlander, Outlander Sport.
Okay.
Those are 2 different vehicles, Outlander and Outlander Sport.
Yeah.
Lancer.
Okay.
I think I also said Lancer.
You did. Lancer was good. I didn't have Lancer on my list. So you've won. Nice job. I had as examples Gallant, Outlander, Outlander Sport, Eclipse Cross, Mighty Max, and Raider. Mighty Max was their compact pickup.
Okay.
And the Raider was later their pickup that was based on the...
Was it the Ranger?
No, the Dakota. For a little while. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Raider. Yep. There was also a really small crossover they sold here called the Raider. That was in the 80s.
So,
all right.
Completely random aside, do you... Mazda isn't on there, is there?
No.
Okay. Mazda had a pickup truck. Do you remember what that was?
Well, they sold... It was the Ford Courier. Mazda built it for Ford. I'm trying to remember if Mazda had a name for its pickup.
And one of my neighbors in my old neighborhood had one.
What was the name of the Mazda pickup?
I'm pretty sure it was B-Roll.
Oh, it was the B series.
Yeah, the B roll.
No,
B
series. It was B and then based on the engine.
Yeah.
So it was B, what was it? 2300, B4000, B3000. That's when it was based. I think it was always called the B series, but when it was based on the Ford Ranger.
Yeah, but one of my neighbors had one of those.
Completely forgot B series. All right, this one should be easy for you, so I'm asking for more.
No.
I need, starting now, 6 BMWs.
Oh. Well, 2 Series, 3 Series, 4 Series, 5 Series, 6 Series, 7 Series, X5, X3, IX, I4, I5.
Nice job.
That one was easy.
Basically, I just listed all of them here.
Yeah.
Including the... No, that's it. All right, Z4. Nice job. What's that?
Z4.
I didn't have Z4. That's got to be gone soon.
Yeah, could be. I mean, it shares components with the Supra, so maybe not.
Yeah, those are both built by Steyr. Who owns Steyr? Magna International. But okay. The big factory in Germany, or Austria, that builds a lot of stuff. A lot of convertibles and stuff for other people, but low volume production. But that plant got whacked by Fisker collapsing because they were building Fiskers for a little while. All right, are you ready for the bonus question?
I'm always ready for the bonus question.
Bonus question always related to the topic of the day. Are you ready?
All right.
Kuma's Corner.
I used to live next to Kuma's Corner.
There you go. I'm Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kuma's Corner, burger place.
Yes.
Famous for their heavy metal themed decor and burgers.
Yes.
There's one, as you mentioned, in Chicago. There's one in Schaumburg that gets hit hard by tourists. And there's one in Indianapolis.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tell my family because I know my sister and brother-in-law love Kuma's.
I've been there half a dozen times with my daughter. Mm-hmm. They do very, very good vegetarian burgers.
They do.
Yeah. It's a party.
I've had those as well.
Yeah. Food's excellent.
And they have an amazing beer list.
The food is excellent. The music totally sucks. But if you're into that.
My husband likes the music.
But it's fun for 40 minutes, 38 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the music gets old pretty quickly. I need you to tell me which of the following is not a burger on the Kuma's Corner menu.
Great. It's been when did we leave our place? 5 years since I've been there, so.
All right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Just going to give you burger names. One of these is fake. What's unbelievable is that only one of these is fake.
Right.
The Mega Death Burger, the Morgue Burger, the Plague Burger, or the Wretched Imp Burger?
I think it's the Wretched Imp.
Is it fake?
I believe I've ordered the Plague.
I think that one of these is vegetarian.
And I know Black Death is also real. It could be either Black Death or the Plague that is the veggie.
Well, those aren't on the list.
You said you thought one of those was a veggie.
No. Yes. But
you're yes?
You just added a bunch of names to confuse the issue.
Okay, what?
Megadeth.
Yes.
More.
Megadeth, that's
Plague,
what
Plague, Wretched Imp.
Megadeth and... the imp is the one that I think isn't real.
All right. Yeah, it's not.
But I'm like, I think I've ordered the first one and the second one. And I know there's like, I want to say like a Black Sabbath burger. And their burgers are really good.
Yeah, the Plague Burger, for example. And I just got the menu description here. It's a burger with crushed garlic, house-made hot sauce, pepper jack cheese, jalapenos, tortilla strips, and roasted garlic mayo. Yum.
Yes, I do believe I've had
like
that one, yes.
Like a double blueberry donut.
Oh, yeah. No. Right. And then you have to order a beer with that because you got to wash it all down.
I've never done that, but a beer would go great with that. So we have to get back to a topic, and that is CarPlay and me and the Volkswagen Taos.
Okay, yes. Awesome.
So you're not going to be satisfied with what happened here.
Okay.
So I got into the car, I paired my phone, and I paired my phone not thinking, not with CarPlay at first. But I was going to switch later.
Okay.
So I used it, and here's the problem. The Taos, which is redesigned for 2025, it's better still. The Golf R was better than my original issues with this particular infotainment system. The Taos is very good. Still some glitchy stuff, but it does work on random most of the time.
Okay.
Although every now and then it would take me to an album, and then after the first song, just continue down that album. Weird. Additionally, it's still a little sluggish.
Okay.
Like it takes 30 seconds for the new information about a new song to appear on screen, which is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then it would skip a song. Like a song would pop up and then skip it. So I'm like, this is way better. But I did promise.
And that was in Apple CarPlay or on your Bluetooth?
That was my. That was just using the
Bluetooth.
Yes. Just
okay.
The, okay. Yes. I was just using the car system. Here's the problem. I couldn't get it to do CarPlay. Like, once I had set up my phone just to use the native system, that was it. And I unpaired and paired 3 times. And one time I did get the thing to, like, connect to CarPlay. And I'm like, yes. And it wouldn't do it.
I think it was a DFU error.
So, I don't know what happened there. It was kind of irritating because I was kind of keen to do this. Also, I was getting sick of the very boring Volkswagen graphics.
Yeah.
Which are just black and white. So it would have been nice to see the color from right. Apple. That said, just real quick, we're running out of time here. The new Taos, mm-hmm. now that it has nothing to do with that totally crappy double clutch transmission, is a transformed vehicle.
Huh.
Now that that double clutch transmission is gone, mm-hmm. and now that the infotainment system is 80% better,
mm-hmm.
delightful car.
Okay.
Good mileage, fun to drive, reasonably quick, nice mm-hmm. interior. The interior's a little cheap.
Okay.
And maybe it's a little loud,
mm-hmm.
but really good use of space. And
okay.
you and I were just talking about the Mazda CX-30,
mm-hmm.
opposite car. All sorts of power, lavish interior, tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny, like U-sized. Not me-sized.
Not U-sized.
But I did enjoy driving that.
Okay.
Next week, we talked to Chris Fuel of Chrysler, CEO of Chrysler. Is that next week?
That's not next week.
Oh, I thought it was next week.
No.
Well, I'm teasing that at some point in the future.
It is at some point in the future. It's the 25th, I think.
Oh, all right. My bad. All right. Well, guess what we did?
We had a great conversation today.
Yeah, good show. Thank you very much. Thanks to Brian Yackel, Senior Marketing Manager for Nissan. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. I've got donuts to eat.
You have a lot of donuts to eat.
All right. Let's talk more about cars.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.